Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, a show for veterans by veterans.
Thank you for joining us on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Cal Walters and Tom Claxton, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we welcome you to the most important and entertaining show on the radio each week as we tackle the issues and concerns vital to the welfare of our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. And we've got an outstanding show coming up for you today, but first I want to thank some of the sponsors that helped make the show possible. Right, Tom?
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ed's Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and Lifeline's Counseling Service, the Veteran 211 Hotline.
And, of course, I want to thank all of our sponsors and you, our great listeners, because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. NESVN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So you can always join in the discussion at 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. You can also check us out on the TuneIn app for your smartphone at FM Talk 106.5. And if you like to listen on demand, our regularly aired programs are up via podcast on most major podcasting sites, and Tom's Tirade is up via podcast at castbox.net. We got a lot of information to cover for you on the show tonight. Later on SBN, we'll speak with Mr. Lou Lartigue from the South Alabama Veterans Council. He will get us up to speed on everything happening and what's not happening for the upcoming July 4th holiday. And, of course, Tom's Tirade on Do You Have a Flag? Part 2. You certainly don't want to miss it. But first, it is a privilege to be joined on SBN by Mr. Nick DiMario from Ed's Seafood Shed. Hey, Nick, welcome back to the Scuttlebutt. Thank you for all that you do for our veterans, military, and our first responders.
What's going on tonight, guys?
Oh, man, it's a privilege to have you on board here, Nick. Everything going well with the fabulous restaurants here on the Gulf Coast?
Yeah, we're doing good, man. You know, we're just trying to get back to the normal way of business, with especially with the 50% capacity, but you know, we've had we have loyal following of guests, and I think that our staff has been well prepared, you know, and we've made good protocols as far as how to handle our customers from a sanitation standpoint, which we did already, and you know, it's been fun to have the people back in.
Oh, it's been awesome. I've had the occasion to be at Ed's on several occasions since you're able to open the doors again. And I noticed that you've got people saying, including yourself sometimes, walking around and doing nothing but wiping off additional places where people might touch. And, it, you know, doesn't know that the way they have or not, but you're cleaning it anyway.
You got to do it before, you got to do it during, and you got to do it after.
Right.
And that's nothing that we have normally not done. It's just we've taken either, you know, larger precautions, you know, from when our employees come in, we take their temperature, and you know, we just try to do the right thing and just, you know, follow the plan, and you know, God willing, we'll be in good shape. And you know, it's just been great. The Ed's, it seems like it's just a whole new world of people coming in and trying us out. We've got the bar that's now 31 foot long. We've got draft beer. We've got the menu that's, you know, really, really been, a, you know, touched, you know, from Pete and myself. And it's just been really cool to get to know some of the, you know, the regulars, you and a lot of the other guys, folks and ladies that come in. It's just been really cool.
Well, it's just really neat to see, we're talking about all the cleanliness that we see now and the things that we're doing in our homes, our vehicles and restaurants, any place where we go. But and if we stop to think about it, a lot of that was already being done by the restaurant facilities because of their cleanliness factor that they were aware of. But now that we know that they're doing it and the people have their mask on, it's just more obvious to us, I think.
Yeah, and I think, you know, everybody's got to wear their mask, period.
Right.
You know, for us to stay ahead of this, we need to wear our mask, and we need to follow the guidelines what the experts have provided us the information to be successful.
Right.
And, I mean, it's kind of like how we run our restaurants. You know, Nick Saban has processes at Alabama, and we have processes on how we line up every day, and we get ready to go. I mean, you've heard our pre-meals, and we have walkthroughs, and we check our coolers three or four times a day. We do line checks. We have prep sheets. We have all the things that go along with being great operators and use intelligence and to run the restaurant and then, you know, fulfill our mission statement. Hey, we've never met a stranger and we put real food in our food.
There you go, man. There you go. You got real food in your food. No paper mache hamburgers,
no,
huh?
No, but Tom, what we do, and we talk about it all the time, is we scale business. You know, from top to bottom, you know, from the dishwasher, how they put the machine together, to how you clean the parking lot, to everybody understanding their job and everybody understanding their role. And that flows into just, you know, more than just restaurants. I mean, we just opened up a Mobtown Proper and Vintage. What you were asking me earlier, what is that?
Right.
Well, it's somewhere between a barbershop and a cosmetology scenario, and it's, you know, fun, hip, and we've got a jukebox in there, and the place is just really cool. You came there to get your hair cut. How did you like your experience?
Oh man, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the atmosphere. I enjoyed the music they were playing on the jukebox, and they asked, you know, if there's something that you want to hear, let's see if it's on the jukebox. We'll play it for you or whatever. They got a big old Wurlitzer in there with a neon front and all on it. I'm going like, dang, that's back in the jukebox days. We don't see that anymore.
Well, we're just trying to incorporate haircutting and hospitality.
Right.
And, you know, hospitality is what during this time is going to bring all of us together. Food, hell, Cal, I think he's a frustrated chef, right?
Right.
I mean,
he
talks
is.
About food all the time. Every time we talk, he talks about something. Gumbo, this. I mean, food brings people together, and what we need is to be together during this time. And, you know, when you go to a restaurant or you go get your hair cut, it should be happy feelings and making friends with people. And that's what we're trying to do.
Well, they're doing an awesome job with it. I noticed that all your equipment and all in there is all brand-new equipment, and you're getting ready. You've got some additional personnel coming in, but you have a new cosmetologist.
Yeah, we're looking for that barber who wants to be hip, cool, and be passionate about what he's doing. You know,
there you go.
We met Melissa today.
Yep.
She's going to be awesome, and she's really creative, and she can follow a plan and help put the plan together. So we're real excited about what we do, and I think, you know, the next part of it will be that coffee shop in the middle and juice bar with some all kinds of cool toast, avocado,
maybe
toast
some,
and stuff like that.
Maybe
so
some beignets.
Cool.
Maybe some beignets every now and then or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we'll slide some beignets in there. You know, you got to do that for the OG.
Got to have the beignets, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. And we appreciate you coming. How'd your haircut turn out?
Oh, it was fine, man. I enjoyed it. It's been so long since I had one. With this quarantine and all going on, you're going like, I thought I was going to have to go down and get dog tags, you know, so that people would let me in.
She took care of your eyebrows. She took care of your neck.
She got hair everywhere. She did an awesome job. She's an awesome lady. I believe it's Melissa Witt, and she's with us. She's got a lot of experience, and for the ladies out there, it's worried about their tinning and their extensions and things of that nature. That's that's her ball game. She knows how to do all that. And
that's a great thing about what we do. You were asking me what Mobtown Proper was. I told you it's somewhere between cosmetology and barbering coming together and then putting some hospitality in it, like you're in the restaurant business making friends.
Right.
That's what we want to be.
Now, all right, we're going to carry you over just a minute if you've got time. We're going to have to get a break in here, but how about hanging with us just a minute? A couple other questions I want to ask you about the Mobtown proper.
Sure. Yeah, no problem.
All right. We've still got a second or two, but it's neat to have Nick on board here with us today. He and Panini Pete are the proprietors of Sunset Point Restaurant, Ed Seafood Shed in the Squid Ink downtown, and Panini Pete's in Fairhope.
Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, radio for veterans by veterans.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Our number is 343-0106-8669-83-2777. You can also catch us on the TuneIn app for your social media devices. Hey, check us out on Facebook. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. And we are privileged to be talking with Mr. Nick DeMario, Ed's Seafood Shed, and the Panini Pete Empire. Nick, thanks for being here with us.
Oh, no problem, man. Glad to hang around.
Man, glad you had the time to stay with us and carry over here and talk about Mobtown proper. But, you know, one of the neat things that you brought to my attention there today and is the fact that back in the day, and a lot of our mature gentlemen. I like to say old, damn it. Some of our mature gentlemen will remember when you used to get that hot towel, you know, that you put around, wipe your face and all off, you know, and wipe around your eyes and your nose and on the back of your neck. And then, you know, I've been to salons and barbershops where you're really paying for the best. And they, you know, they got the vibrator they put around on your neck and on your shoulders and all. I'm going like, damn, I'm a new man. I'm ready to go now. And I understand this is part of what you're going to do over there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what we looked at. And, you know, even the old-time haircuts, if you recall way back in the day, you look at old-time pictures, everything was high and tight and fade.
Watch
so,
it.
I mean, that's very prominent now. And then, you know, you have the kids that are wearing their hair front, what I call front long instead of front back.
Right. Okay.
You know, it's all coming forward. So, you know, I think that, you know, what are the things that make you feel good when you eat? Dessert, right?
There you go.
You eat dinner. So here, when we're finishing up, we're going to clean you up with a hot towel. We're going to make sure that your eyebrows are cleaned up, your ears are cleaned up for some of us older folks.
Yep.
And we're going to make sure,
I have that problem.
Sure that you get cleaned up with a warm towel. And if you want your fingernails clipped while you're getting it done, we'll clip them for a few bucks. And
oh, there you
sure
go.
We're not going to manicure them. We're just going to clip them.
There you go.
And, you know, we're just doing some little things that, you know, I think the hair business has evolved into something cooler and hipper, and we're just trying to define what it is, kind of like, you know, what we did with Squid Ink. What is
right.
Squid Ink?
Squid
well,
Ink.
We don't know. We just put it together and said, hey, it's a gastropub, and it's what's on the menu, whatever we want to put on the menu.
Right.
Well, that's kind of what we're doing there, and just kind of incorporate making friends along the way and be really cool about the way we approach cutting hair and cleaning people up.
Well, you also have a setup where you can make appointments to come in?
Yeah, so if you go on to Facebook and you go Mobtown Proper and Vintage, you'll be able to tap on the link, and that'll bring up where you can actually plug in and make a reservation. Right now, we'll take walk-ons, but we just kind of prefer to see where we are with our day.
Right.
So tomorrow's day two, and you know, we're learning a lot about our business and how to make friends with people.
Well, you know what? I really enjoy the fact that you don't mind bending a little bit. Just if this don't work today, we'll try something new tomorrow. It's not chiseled in stone, you know. Let's do what needs to be done to make it perfect.
Well, in football, when you can't stop the run, you got to do something else, right?
And lay down in front of the sucker or something.
Something.
Yeah. Well, now, all right, give us some information about Mobtown proper on where people can find it.
119 South Ann Street, right next to the legends, Griffin Shell, the brothers.
Right.
And we're right next to those guys. They've been there forever. Just the blue building, we're on the end, and we got plenty of parking right there on the side of the building, and it's right there on the end.
All right. Andy, do we have a phone number or anything, or do you want to just use the Facebook number?
Yeah, if you go on Facebook, we'll have the phone number and the way that you go. You can call, make an appointment, or you can book online.
All right.
And our hours are 8 to 6 o'clock.
8 to 6. That's cool.
Monday through Friday.
Okay. Y'all play on Saturday and Sunday.
What's that?
I said you play on Saturday and Sunday.
You know, I have another job.
You have a real job.
I have a real job.
9 days a week.
I'm just holding the sheet music now.
Oh, there you go. All right, brother. We appreciate you being on board
and
with us today.
I appreciate you and appreciate you having me on. Y'all have a great night. Be safe.
Thank
Love
you.
What y'all do.
All right, take care,
bye-bye.
Buddy. All right, guys. It's if you have the need of the service, you'd like to go down and check it out. Do so. Mobtown proper. Located there on Ann Street, right behind the Griffin Shell Station. They've been there, it's all my dang life, so that's a long time. But anyway, let's talk to the fabulous Lou Lartigue. How about it, big buddy?
Hey, thanks, Tom, Cal, for having me on. I appreciate it.
Man, I tell you, this is right around the corner from July the 4th, matter of fact, this weekend.
Yeah, I tell you what, and this, you know, everybody's trying to recover from all of this stuff going on, and all of our posts are trying to recover and make the best of what they can do. A lot of them live on the razor edge of opening and closing, you know. So we try to support them, but yeah, there's some stuff going on this weekend.
Well, let's start out. Let's talk about the battleship first. Is anything going on at the battleship?
No, I talked to Ebb Counts today, and he said they're not doing anything special like to do with fireworks and the Pops concert and stuff this year. They are open, and they are, having everything as usual, but they just can't control the crowd,
right,
and everything. So they're not doing much there. But
well, everybody's afraid of that, Lou. I mean, you can't control the distancing, and you can't control making people wear the mask. And there's so many people that are saying that and crying that they have breathing problems when they wear the mask, and that's the reason they don't wear them. So,
yep.
You know, then they need to do whatever they need to do, but just don't be coughing on me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's like down at Dolphin Island. You know, the folks down there looked at it, and they said, we can't control all of the folks coming down here and social distancing and everything. And they call their fireworks. But the Dolphin Island Veterans Association, DIVA, is having their 4th of July ceremony this weekend at the Water Tower Plaza. And they're at 11 o'clock. And they're going to do the social distancing thing. If you've never been to that, that's really kind of a neat ceremony they have down there.
What are they actually doing? I mean, what does their ceremony consist of?
Well, they actually, if you know, they got at the plaza down there, they got bricks from all the veterans that have donated money to put in there. They have their flags and everything. They have their honor guard march out with their flags,
okay,
and they do their ceremony, which is rather nice. And all of the folks on Dolphin Island participate in that, and it's kind of nice. They'll be doing, like I said, the social distancing and everything, but it's kind of a nice touch.
Well, that is neat. That would be an awesome ceremony, and especially for the people that haven't had the occasion to be able to partake of that. But now, after you go to that ceremony, what about post 250 there? It's right up the road.
Yeah, right up the road on Dolphin Island Parkway.
You got
to
pass it going down there.
250 at Fowl River. They are having a big dinner there at noon, and they have smoked pulled pork sandwiches for $10 and barbecue chicken plates for $8, which has potato salad and barbecued beans and Texas toast. You know, you could drive in and pick up or and take out, or you can dine in.
Right.
You know, they do the social distancing thing. You
That's
can
right.
dine in.
But if you'd like to have one of their
they
little...
They do a really good deal. I mean, they cook some good chow down there.
They have those adult soda waters there, too.
Yeah, that also helps.
Well, the ones that want the adult soda waters.
Yeah, it keeps the coronavirus away.
Right, yeah, you could kill the virus with your soda waters.
Right.
That is so cool. But they do an awesome job there at, you know, at Post 250, and they have an outstanding cooking facility and all there. I was there about a month or so ago, and they had a fish fry down there, and oh, man, they had people lined up all the way around the building for, I don't know how many, 6 or 8 hours selling the fish and all. But I had the occasion to go into their kitchen and all and check it. They've got a fine machine in there, but we're going to have to take a break right now and get a word from my fine sponsors. And we'll bring Lou back on here after this break, and we'll talk a little bit more about things that's going on here for the 4th of July.
Into the wild blue yonder, climbing high into the sun.
Check your parker brake off, check your trim set, check your nose steering arm maneuver, dive and drago, a low transition, right turn out, 86, dive and out there on 16, let's run them up.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, radio for veterans by veterans.
Glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. Our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777 to join in the discussion. Hey, check us out on Facebook. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN.
And we'd certainly like to thank the fine folks that continue to help make this show possible, the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, our sea lawyer, Colin Kimberly, and all the fine folks at the law firm in Wardburg and Kimberly, Viva Medicare of Alabama, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and Lifelines Counseling Services, the Veterans 211 Hotline. And back to our gracious Mr. Lou Lartigue from the South Alabama Veterans Council. Lou, let's continue with some of those other posts and what they're doing.
Yeah, I guess our other posts are... Post 49, VFW Post 49 on Government Boulevard there is doing hamburgers for their folks and wants people to stop in. Post 88 on Halls Mill Road is also cooking a big meal and having folks in. And 4328 down on Hamilton Boulevard, they're cooking. And, of course, 199 over in Fairhope has just, got their tiki bar going and everything over there. So, and all of them are trying to do the social distancing and keep everybody, safe. So it's a good venue. And go support your post.
Right.
They really need it. They really need your help. In this time where all of them are opening back up, just like all the restaurants and everything else around town. So go support them.
Well, a lot of the places where people get those adult beverages are, don't have dining where you can actually go and partake of a drink or something of that nature. But if you'll find your post and their locations there, Most of these have been open for a while now, but they're still social distancing on the inside. But they're back open, and they need your help. And most of these posts are struggling for lack of membership and participation by people in there spending their dollar or two.
But exactly. Yep. And so I encourage everybody to go by. And tomorrow we have the Military Appreciation Luncheon going on. And that's a thing that happens every year. It normally happens over at the battleship with a big luncheon over there. And but this year it's going to be, it's going to be done virtually. And Governor Ivey is going to be, giving an opening for that. And they're going to be giving awards for the JROTC and the ROTC cadets. In addition to that, all of the services, outstanding military soldiers from the Marine Corps to the National Guard Reserve units are going to be honored at that ceremony. So, and for $20, you can register. And go online and register, and hope it's not too late, but it's going to be at noon tomorrow. But you can go online and register at a Mobile Chamber,
you got it.
Online, and get that done, and you get a $15 gift certificate, plus you get to do it virtually on Zoom.
There
so,
you go. Yeah. Well, so, let me interrupt you here. There's also an additional award that will be given tomorrow. The General Gary Cooper. Now, General Cooper is a major general from the Marine Corps that happens to be a member of our Marine Corps League, and they have a special award that's only been given, I think, like three times, and this new award will be given tomorrow to none other than the fabulous Lou Lartigue for his outstanding services in the veterans area here in the Mobile area, and all that he's done, and even being a lieutenant colonel in the Army, and I don't know how many years, Lou?
20 years.
20 years.
Gracious years.
And you've got another 20 or so years here already.
But I tell you what, that award is just an honor of all the folks who have been beside me and working with me and the South Alabama Veterans Council and everything that we do. I cannot accept it on my own. I have to accept it for everybody that's been a real trooper
and
making stuff happen around the Mobile and the Bay Area.
I
appreciate
job,
that honor, yep. And I accept it on everyone's behalf.
Thank you, sir, and we appreciate you receiving it. If there's anyone in this Gulf Coast area that has received such an honor or deserves such an honor, it is the Lou Lartigue. And I think that kind of covers everything for tonight. You're going to get on out of here?
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it, Tom, Cal. Y'all have a great one. You have a great show and do a great honor to our veterans and in the Mobile area.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate what you participate with us on. Thank you, sir.
Okay, buddy. Thanks
all
a
right.
lot.
Brother Cal, you on board?
Outstanding. It's always great to have Lou on board with us. Tom, I want to follow up with the story that we had talked about. And it's actually been a couple of weeks, but it's coming out of the veterans home that was up in Massachusetts. And I'll say that. I'm not going to let you say that.
I was going to say, I hope you said that, not me. Because they don't like the way I say that word.
But, we covered it. And, in this veterans home, where there were only about 200 residents, they had over 76 deaths that were linked to coronavirus.
Unable.
And, of course, as we've seen throughout the nation, I want to say it's close to 50% of deaths in some areas are linked to nursing homes.
Yes.
But apparently the after-action report from this veterans home began, it says that the outbreak began when patients from two dementia units were combined into one. And apparently from that point forward, it just became one of those almost, you know, like a movie with one of these outbreaks. Mm-mm. When you look at some of the reporting that some of the staff members
right.
Have done, you know, they say the merger of the two units represented the opposite of infection control. And, of course, you know, it kind of makes sense because, you know, a lot of these nursing homes, Tom, in these veterans homes, everybody's kind of in their own unit, their own wards, that kind of stuff.
Right.
And instead of taking and basically quarantining these people, they took them and they combined them.
Mm-hmm.
And then apparently on top of that, they had staff members that mm-hmm. were traveling because they were short-staffed. Mm-hmm. They were traveling from one of these units into the others.
Oh, my God. Negligence.
You know, it was just a horrible tragedy.
It was. But here you go. You know, it's just negligence on the part of some supervisor there, and you know that those people that are doing the job had to know what was going to happen with that. And the supervisor should too, you know.
In the wake of all of that, they have the director there who is actually, he was a Marine Corps combat veteran. Mm. He was suspended with pay March 30th, but he was fired after the report was made public. So, you hate to see him get fired, but at the same time, he is the one who's responsible for
right.
what was going on
right.
There in that facility. So it's disturbing to know that it went on. His firing is not going to bring back any of this veteran, but it is at least some answers for some people.
Yep, but you know you got to have closure, and who's ever responsible for that serious of a disaster? It's got to, you know, they're going to have to suck it up on their shoulders and carry that load.
Absolutely, and I think we're about to head into a break here, Tom.
We are.
Absolutely. So, hey, on the other side of the break, Tom's tirade on Do You Have a Flag Part 2. Tom's back at it when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Sick him.
The following may not necessarily represent the views or opinions of this station, but they're coming around.
What is your major malfunction?
And now, the original pork-eating crusader,
Mr. Tom Claxton.
The recent death of George Floyd in Minneapolis, Minnesota has sparked debates in this nation on numerous topics in ways that few other tragedies could. Of course, the gun-controlled Nazis in the Communist Democratic Party had to blame the event not on a bad cop for the history of conflict with the deceased, but on the phantom menace of systemic racism within local police forces. And of course, systemic racism within the nation, dating back to Al Sharpton's felonious representation of Tawana Prawley. Of course, Sharpton is from that long line of the progressive left whose hearts lay less with the victims of tragedy and more with the heart of pushing an agenda. And, of course, in the immortal words of Rahm Emanuel, never letting a good crisis go to waste. So in the wake of words of the community organizer-in-chief, many have begun calling for what Michelle Antoinette did in the early days of the campaign, a fundamental transformation of this country. Guns are no good, of course. Cops are quite possibly even worse. And they both should be removed from the hands and communities of law-abiding citizens of the country because, respectively, they are just too damn stupid to know how to use them, and they are too damn stupid to know their place, except that they both provide a constitutionally guaranteed right of self-defense for the millions who lawfully use their firearms to protect themselves, and, of course, the police utilize the same. That they both also guarantee a citizen prepared to defend itself against an overreaching government, and more likely the reason that anarchists and progressives choose to demonize guns, cops, and those who support the Second Amendment. Probably one of the most glaring ironies of the Floyd protest / riots / anarchy / violence / shooting / unlawful occupations / destruction of personal property / destruction of personal dreams / hedonism on display / attempt to overthrow our national institutions / the malicious rewriting of our nation's history is that His death has largely been forgotten since the race-baiting Al Sharpton spoke at his first of many memorials weeks ago, a fact that seems to be lost on progressives, Marxists, communists, and their pawns, including their accomplices in the Democratic Communist Party and their state-run media, all advocates of eliminating the Second Amendment and overturning the Constitution. And while our laws, based on the Constitution, may guarantee that these groups have a right to protest in peace, the shootings, lootings, violence, and theft memorialized in the aftermath only highlight that it is not law-abiding citizens who commit these heinous acts, but criminals who disregard the laws to commit their crimes, a fact not lost on silent majority of this nation who mourn the loss of Floyd, but who also decry the daily losses due to gun violence, gang violence, and drug addiction due to the inaction of the Marxist progressives at every level, local, state, or federal, in the House of Representatives where Nancy Botoxi rules the roost. Considering that she has not advanced any legislation on race relations in the aftermath, I would imagine that she realizes that even in the wake of such a tragedy, she would be on shaky ground to push such legislation in an ostensibly Republican-controlled Congress. Who says she is not pragmatic? The news of the Floyd's death impacts us all. It was another example of abhorrent violence in a world that has seen far too much of it. Like so many of our prior tragedies, when it comes to this statistically minuscule instance of white cop on black suspect death, the nation's attention turned, albeit briefly, to discussions of compliance to law enforcement. And then, as time went on, those things left the headlines and life continued. Except, in this case, even though the issues of respect for law enforcement and access to guns still exist, we have a new scapegoat. A flag, and oh my gosh, big bronze statues. They are a convenient target, of course, and they make it much easier to take a stand against a piece of history than it is to try and address the larger, tougher issues related to black-on-black violence and the growing race-baiting industry we have in our country. It's easier for the politicians and the pundits and the public to rail against the flag and the history of our country, but it doesn't move us one step closer to preventing a more race-baiting violent riots from happening again. What it does do is widen the chasm that exists between blacks and whites in this nation. Just as the fantasy of white privilege did not descend to place its knee upon the neck of Floyd, the Confederate flag wasn't even an observer to the act. One can only wonder if the outrage would be the same if the killer had posted pics on social media holding a hammer and a sickle, the flag of ISIS, or a pride banner. I somehow doubt it. And in the end, removing the Confederate flag and similar memorials from our national concert will do little to stop. And they are mentally deranged from committing acts of violence against others. Today, in our current climate, it serves as a political rally cry for the Marxist, Communist, Progressive Democratic Party and those of its ilk while deepening the racial divide in this nation and, just maybe, stoking the fires of hatred in the next deranged killer, a sad but true commentary. Some have commented that it is time for the Confederate flag and statues to go. Become a museum relic. Major retailers are refusing to carry Confederate merchandise, and no surprise, corporations are running from anything to do with Dixie. Most are saying that the move has little to do with the riots, but rather that the flag is simply too controversial and offensive to a small minority. Better let it go than to stand up for the individual's freedom of expression. Hell, from what I'm hearing, they want to erase the Duke from history. I mean, what the f***? Bring it on! I only hope that those who are capitulating today on the stars and bars will remember that many in that same minority are joined by a growing group who have the same feeling about the stars and stripes. And mark my words, that one day, and it may not be in the distant future, there will be a cry to remove our national flag from the public square because it is a rallying cry for those who love what this nation and what it once stood for before the transformation. Just something to think about. The Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton.
And we built up empires. We stole countries. That's what you do. That's how you build an empire. We stole countries with the cunning use of flags. Yeah. You just sail around the world and stick a flag in. I claim India for Britain. And they go, you can't claim us, we live here. 500 million of us. Do you have a flag? We don't need a bloody flag. It's our country, you bastard. No flag, no country. You can't have one.
Welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans, for the veterans on 106.5 FM, and streaming live on ScuttlebuttNetwork.com, along with Tom Claxton, I'm Cal Walters, a couple of Marines, with just a little bit to say, the First Amendment right to say it and the fighting spirit to keep it, and some good information there, Tom.
Yep. You know, it's hard to put all that together and get it all right, but it's all the truth, and I have a gracious writer that does an outstanding job to help put all of that together. But you know, if the truth hurts, it just damn it hurts. Okay, it's the truth.
Well, you know, and Tom, the last time I checked, the Constitution, as it was written, does not guarantee anyone the right to not be offended.
Right. That's so true. That is so true.
But it is. When you look at some of the information that's there and some of the things that have come out, and it's sort of that cumulative effect of the things that we have endured as a nation and as a people, and you look at where we stand today and where we are in terms of our military and our veterans and even our police and those folks that have taken an oath at one point or the other to defend the freedoms that we have, and to then turn that around and see so many out there marching against those who have, stood watch and, stood on that wall, and taken a stand.
Hey, what about the over a million veterans that lost their lives fighting for this country and fighting for that flag? They don't consider that, Cal.
They pivoted from that, Tom, to it's about more than the flag, and the flag is just an embodiment of it. It's a move towards anarchy, right. And I think I think there are more veterans out there that would like to take a stance against that than there are that are going to stand with them. Right. It's just a matter of whether or not they're going to allow their voices to be heard. But a great show, lots of good information tonight, some great interviews with Lou and Nick. But that's going to bring us to the close of tonight's edition of the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans, for the veterans. Hey, happy July 4th, everybody. Get out there and celebrate. God bless America. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. We'll catch you on the other side.
Hoorah!